Last week, we began a new series about calls in our lives. You and I, we are each called in small ways and large ways to listen to what it is that God is telling us, discern our next steps, and then respond. As we enter this new year, discerning how God is calling us now, we're looking together at the journey of Paul as a pattern for how we can hear and listen to God as well. Last week, we began with a call to choose Christ. This week, a call to go. Now, often, when we think about go, we think about a character like Paul, someone going from one location to another, big swaths of travel, exotic to unknown. But this morning, as we talk about Paul, I want to invite you to open yourselves up to how God might be moving in your heart. Now, perhaps you are being called to some missionary work in Africa or constructive work in Haiti. Perhaps there's some work to be done on the eastern shore of Maryland or with some needs in Wilmington or like our youth were last week at the Paris Foundation in Elkton. But I also want you to tune your ears to see if God might be calling you to your next door neighbor or a cousin you haven't spoken to in a while because, you know, there was a thing a number of years back. Go doesn't always mean the farthest distance, but the greatest impact. From the passage we heard in Acts, we get very quickly the sense that Paul is going on his first missionary journey. He'll travel prolifically in this portion of his life, crisscrossing Asia Minor, planting churches, starting movements, and sharing the gospel. For this series, I've been leaning on the book, The Call, by Adam Hamilton, and he has a video as well in some of the places, modern places, where the ancient Paul walked. I want to show you just a portion of some of that modern imagery now.
After Paul and Barnabas were set apart by the believers in Syria and Antioch, they made their way to the coast and boarded a ship that would have looked something like the one you see here. And they would have traveled thousands of miles on ships like this across the course of, or Paul would have, over the course of the next 15 years, 20 years. And they made their way to Cyprus. Now, Cyprus was Barnabas' hometown, our home island. This is where he was from. And Barnabas, John Mark, his younger cousin, and Paul make their way to Cyprus. They travel across by land as they're ministering, as they're preaching and offering Christ. And then finally, they leave the island of Cyprus and make their way by ship over to Perga. City of the province, and though Luke doesn't tell us much of what happens here, only that they entered Perga, and then later on they came back through and Paul proclaimed the gospel, all we know is that Paul and Barnabas, they entered through these city gates as they began their missionary journey in Asia Minor. And so we enter through these same gates today, and we remember the fact that Paul walked here in this place as he was launching his mission to Asia Minor. So Paul would have traveled from Perga up the plain alongside the Cestrus River, which we're standing in front of now. An old Roman road ran along the Cestrus River and made its way up into the mountain pass through the Taurus Mountains and up to the city of Antioch. And so you can see, you know, many people picture Paul traversing across desert-like or dry, flat terrains in Turkey, but that's not what he was walking across. He was getting ready to cross the Taurus Mountains, ascending 5,000 feet to go to the city of Antioch. It would have taken him about 3 weeks to make this journey, I think. because he would have had to stop at the water sources along the way. So he and Barnabas making their way along the river as long as it traversed, and then along the Roman road up the Taurus Mountains to the city of Antioch.
So Paul leaves Antioch, and he travels eastward to the cities of Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. If you were to visit these sites today, all you find is large hills. These are called tells, and they're man-made hills. The cities would be destroyed by earthquake or war, fire, and then the people would rebuild the city on top of the old ruins. And they would bring a layer of dirt, they would flatten things out, they would start all over again. And then when that city was destroyed again, another century later, it would be flattened out, and a new city would be built on top of the former remains. And so over time, the cities were built up higher and higher, and then when the city was finally abandoned, nature took over and it just became a large hill. Archaeologists love to excavate these sites, and as you begin to strip away layer after layer, the lower you go, the further back in time you're going. But today, all we can see are just a few ruins and rocks that spring up from the soil. And these large hills, and we remember it was in these places that Paul proclaimed the gospel and started some of his first churches in Asia Minor.
Paul's journeys will be many, and we'll trace them over the next couple of weeks. But I want to point out this morning that his call to journey to these missionary journeys was in gathered worship. He was gathered with the congregation when he first sensed that the Holy Spirit was calling him to go. It's the larger body that affirms his call, if you heard it, lays hands on him and sends him with their blessings. I want to suggest that his pattern is one for us as well. So I find myself wondering this morning, do you expect the Holy Spirit to speak to you in worship? Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves through music or through words, sometimes through preaching and through testimony, through video or through images, sometimes in our prayer time or even the quiet moments in worship. Nevertheless, do you expect that God will show up when you come to worship? Are you looking for how God might move within you or be moving you as well? In this new year, 10 days into writing 2016, not even a habit yet for us to write it. It takes 21 days to make a habit. We are still in a fresh new year, full of possibilities. How is God calling you to go in this year? I'm aware that many among us might have new roles in this year, perhaps job changes by your own choice or someone else's choice. Even this week, a major company among us had layoffs and challenges here to our community. Changes in families as they grow and as they shrink. New ventures, hobbies, and passions that we discover. Some of us, I can imagine, are looking for something new in this year, feeling like something's gotta give, something needs to change. How do we know when and if God is calling us to go, to get a move on it already? The Reverend Mark Fowler of the Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary says it this way: being called by God means getting up every day and believing that God is doing a new thing and you have a part in it. The Bible is filled with stories of those who have heard the call of God, often light on the details, and they followed anyway. Think of the story of Sarai and Abraham, who were going to a place only described as the land that I will show you. Can't really put that in the GPS. Moses took the people to the promised land. There are no geographical coordinates of exactly where the promised land is. When Paul responded to God's call on his life, he didn't know all of the places he might find himself crisscrossing across Asia Minor and into Europe. He only had a sense of what he might be doing. In each place he visited, it began the same way. He went to the synagogue, began teaching those things he learned in his educational preparation, and then wrapped into those lessons, meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. He taught in the synagogues until they kicked him out, and they did, in each and every location. And then he taught in the marketplaces and the public gatherings. He taught about that life-changing power of Jesus and called people to the things that were keeping them from changing their lives, the missing the mark, we would call it today, the sin that was keeping them from changing their lives. These were lessons I think he had learned from Jesus, the same lesson John was probably teaching about 10 years earlier when Jesus was baptized by John. We got the scene in our heads so well this morning with the children acting it out for us. John by the river, baptizing those who came, and I'm imagining taking them one by one. People coming up and asking questions and making comments before the actual baptism. Here is the modern day site on the River Jordan where people go to remember their baptism and the telling of this story. Imagine the people had gathered in this kind of a number of people, and Jesus was not yet well known. So he could have walked through the crowd unnoticed, except by John, who already knew him and had been preparing for his coming. The Gospel of Luke concludes with the baptism of Jesus with the Holy Spirit like a dove descending and saying, "You are my child, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." And God says this to you and to I as well, that we are each the beloved of God, and God is pleased with us. God, who made us and created us, knows everything we've done and left undone. Nothing that is hidden from God. God still claims us as God's very own, and then calls us, not generally as a big congregation here at West Grove, but individually calls each and every one of us. Calls some of us to go be teachers in the heart of Roxborough where the need is the greatest. Calls other of us to care for ailing parents where we can provide our loving care to those who need it most. Calls some of us to youth at risk in Wilmington. Calls others of us to use technology skills so that messages can be shared. Calls other of us to share the energy of our children with older folks who could use the encouragement. Each call is specific and is beautiful. Each call is from our gifts and our graces so that we can be God's hands and feet. As I was thinking about how we are called to go, I could not help but think about the United Methodist Church in specific. We call our pastors to itinerate, that is to say, to go where they are sent by the bishop, by the cabinet. In fact, it is one of the ordination vows. That means that the cabinet and the bishop, we pray, will listen for God and send that person to where their gifts and graces may match the gifts and graces of a congregation. When all this happens, as the pastor and the church listen as well, we pray that there might be the greatest impact in working together. Whether Go means Shamokin or Avondale, whether Go means Nantmeal or even Pittsburgh, wherever Go means. To itinerate means to listen to where God is sending, and we ask our clergy to model for all of us what it means to listen faithfully and regularly to that call. It also struck me that Paul's commissioning, Jesus' baptism, and our lives all take place in public worship. Those have claimed, some have claimed, there is not a need for the church for worship. You've heard it said, there can be beautiful landscapes and quiet moments. Please hear me to say, these are essential moments of devotion. May we all find restoration in those kinds of places. And yet, the connection and reflection we need in corporate worship is for you and it is for me. Without corporate worship, we begin to shape God in our own image instead of God shaping us in God's image. We begin to believe we don't need others to urge us on when we've found a comfortable spot to sit in. We don't need others to encourage us when we've become downtrodden or to steer us away when we've convinced ourselves that we know best, despite what God's will and God's way might be. God has been calling you and has been calling me. God has been calling us even this morning. Now, I can imagine some of us are being called to keep on keeping on. There are difficult circumstances in many of our lives in which commitment is the most important thing that God is calling us to do. Some of us are being called to something completely and perhaps uncomfortably new. So I wonder, where is your heart move this morning? Where did your excitement sit? When did your mind start to try to figure out what the next path or steps might be? Where are the places God's calling you to go? Perhaps it's to China and perhaps it's to Jennersville. There is work, God's work, to be done and God's message to share. If we would just listen to God's call to go. So my prayer for you this morning is may you hear the movement of God, know the blessing of the gathered community, and seek the future unafraid. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.